Welcome to the Living Epistle Podcast, the place where you will find biblical principles to help you live out your faith on a daily basis and to have a positive impact on the lives of others. So, get ready for another powerful episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. And as of the recording of this podcast, we are on day 17 of our 21 days of corporate prayer and fasting. And it has definitely been a blessing for me, and I pray that it has also been a blessing for you. And I don't know about you, but one of the things that happens, or one of the things that's been happening during this time of consecration, is that God has been showing me things about me, right? One of the things we talk about when we fast is it's not so much that we're trying to get God to move or trying to get God to do something or trying to manipulate God into doing something, but it's also a time for God to speak to us and show us areas of our lives where we need to improve or things in our lives that we can do differently or do better. And so one of the areas that God was showing me is that I still need to do work in the area of self-control. Yep, me, the guy who's pretty disciplined in most areas of my life. And yet there are still times when I let frustrations and anxieties and certain things just get the best of me. And when that happens, I absolutely feel horrible, right? And so as we are up to day 17 of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I think to talk about self-control is actually pretty timely, especially as we're looking at the things that we've denied ourselves, as things we are thinking about we want to have kind of when the fast ends. I know none of y'all are doing that, but I know I am. And so, but truly, self-control is just so critical. And I don't think sometimes we realize how important self-control is. And so again, let's go to the Word of God. We know that self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And again, I want to be very clear. It's one of the fruit. The Bible says that it's the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. And just on a side note, the reason that is the fruit of the Spirit is all of these things that we're just going to talk about in just a moment in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 are the fruit of the Spirit. So that means that we should be demonstrating, we should be producing all of these fruit that if the Spirit is in us. So again, that's why it's the fruit of the Spirit and not fruits with an S, but fruit of the Spirit. Anyway, let's go back. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 from the New King James Version reads, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, right? So self-control helps us to resist temptation and avoid conforming to the allure, the draw, the attraction of this world. It actually guides our decisions and it correlates with how we show the other fruit in our lives. Well, what do I mean by this? So for example, patience requires self-control. Well, we know patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. We know that goodness or kindness, well, it does require self-control because why? Sometimes we have to be kind to people who may not necessarily be kind to us. And I kind of could go on and on and on. But again, I'll go to the Word of God to show the connection. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29 reads, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. What is that saying? That's saying that people with understanding control their anger. However, a hot-tempered person, it shows great foolishness. So, and we've all been there. We've all been there. We've seen people who are flying off at the handle and you kind of wonder, is everything okay, right? What's going on with them? As opposed to if somebody's responding with self-control, then we look at the two different people in that situation differently. And so our sin nature leads us to give in to our temper, right? It leads us to want what we want when we want it and to fly off at the handle if we don't get what we wanted. But as believers, as people of faith, as people, blood-bought believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to rise above this giving into our temper and giving into our sin nature, and to show patience, to show self-control. Self-control, again, can be applied to all the fruit of the Spirit in the same way that it is applied to patience or kindness. I mean, think about it. How can you show joy, or how can you have peace? How can you show long suffering? How can you show faithfulness and gentleness and all of those without some self-control, right? And so again, it is just a vital aspect of every area of our lives. And so displaying self-control is often a matter of responding rather than reacting, right? And so, okay, I hear you saying, well, what's the difference between responding and reacting? Well, when we react to a situation, we let our emotions take control. We're more likely to become defensive and say hurtful things. Reacting involves our visceral, that instinctive, that gut response, right? Is that thing that we immediately want to say or do. It is not where we've given it any thought, but if something, you know, happens, we want to give it that immediate gut or visceral response. Whereas responding involves developing a thoughtful response that is guided by reason more than emotion. And we've all been there, right? So again, let me give an example. Somebody says something to us or does something to us in a supermarket, or somebody steps on our toe inadvertently, or somebody bumps into us if we're out in public. Well, reacting would be, come on, we've all been there. What a jerk, right? Or whatever. And even worse, right? As opposed to responding and just taking a moment. When we respond, we take the time to weigh our options. And as Christians, our response to a situation or to situations should be guided by the fruit of the Spirit. So instead of letting what's in us in that initial sinful, visceral nature come out, we respond and say, okay, Lord, how would you have me respond to this? And even if we don't say it out loud, we can say it in our spirits. We can think it in our heads. We can have that conversation in our minds, right? And so, again, I'm sure we can all think of times where we didn't respond in a Christ-like manner, but we reacted instinctively to a situation. We reacted viscerally. We reacted in the flesh to some situation. And I would venture to say, and I don't need to be a prophet, I don't need a word from the Lord, but I would venture to say that that situation didn't turn out so well. It may have caused us even more pain, more grief, more anguish. But this is the thing that I do know, is I know that when we respond, or when we react versus respond, when we react, when we give that visceral response, when we give that sinful response, when we give that fleshly response, I know this for sure, that God is not getting the glory out of our lives, and God is not getting the glory out of those situations when we allow our flesh to take over versus taking that time to step back and respond. And honestly, my brothers and my sisters, I can't help but think about how many people who are in jail or in hospitals or permanently disabled or even in the grave because someone didn't exercise self-control. And I mean, we've all heard stories and on the news and even people we know and even some of us very close to us in our families where people reacted and then they acted hastily or harshly, and then they had regret over something very silly or something very simple. And again, that's where the enemy wants us. The enemy wants that least little thing for us to fly off the handle, for us to react. And react in our flesh versus taking the time to respond. And that's in the negative. And I would even say, even as we're in these 21 days of fasting and prayer, and certainly we're on day 17, that ask the Lord, how would you have me to respond? As we're denying ourselves and as we're looking and seeking God, ask the Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? How would you have me to respond? Lord, what are you asking me to do? Because again, if the truth be told, for many of us, it's only by God's grace that we got out of some of the situations that we were in when we didn't exercise self-control. Come on, let's think about relationships with our families. Let's think about our relationships with our friends or even now former friends, right? Let's think about our marriages, our careers, or our jobs. Let's think about our relationships at school. Let's even go back to our upbringing for those of us who are adults and think about how many of the times, much of the turmoil, much of the tumult, much of the strife, much of the division in our families and our relationships is because we or someone that we were in relationship with didn't exercise self-control. And so Jesus Christ gives us the perfect example of self-control because he lived a sinless life and he possessed every fruit of the Spirit. And here's this example that I love. Jesus demonstrated self-control because he was sent to this earth to carry out the will of his Father. He lived the perfect life in order to set an example for us to follow. And in the end, he died for our sins so that we might have eternal life. What do I mean by that? In Matthew chapter 26, verses 53 through 54, and now Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross at Calvary, and he says this. And again, Matthew 26, 53 and 54, he says, "Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could scripture be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" You see, Jesus knew what he was sent to the earth to do. And despite his own fears, despite his own desires to not necessarily want to go to the cross, he demonstrated self-control in submitting to the plan, his Father's plan, the perfect plan that God had for him, which in turn resulted in us having a right to eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so without Jesus exercising self-control, we would all of humanity, every single person on humanity would face death as the punishment for our sin, right? But because Jesus understood his purpose, because Jesus knew what he was here to do, he was able to exercise self-control in spite of his natural desire to want to live. And so I love 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 from the New Living Translation, and it reads, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Some versions say power, love, and a sound mind. It says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But a sound mind meaning self-discipline. With the Holy Spirit living inside of each of us who are called by the name of Jesus Christ, we are able to possess this self-control and to demonstrate this particular fruit of the Spirit. And as a result, we can live in a way that honors God. And so the next time you're in a tough situation, remember what Jesus did and remember the perfect example that he gave and that he set before us. While it may seem challenging and even at times almost impossible to demonstrate self-control, remember Jesus's example. Why do I say remember Jesus's example? Here's the point to remember from that, what we just quoted in Matthew 26, 53 and 54. Jesus had the right, Jesus had the authority, and he had the ability to call down 12 legions of angels. He would have been well within his right. It would have been well within his authority. It would have been well within his power. It would have been well within his ability to do that. But here's the problem. The problem is that Jesus understood that he didn't want to keep himself from going to the cross. Why? Because if he did that, he would not have been able to fulfill the plan and the purpose and the will that God had for his life and as a result for all of humanity. Jesus understood his assignment and he understood that he had to endure what he was going through in order to fulfill God's plan and God's purpose for his life. What an awesome example. And I can't help, my brothers and sisters, but think about how many times we have the right to say what we want to say. We have the power, we have the authority, we have the position, and we're actually technically right in our position, but we destroy relationships, we destroy people for the sake of being right, as opposed to understanding what our assignment is and what our mission is. So The next time we feel our emotions getting ready to bubble up and overtake us, let's just remember that we're on an assignment, just like Christ, and ask this question. Instead of reacting, let's ask this question. Will our reaction and or our response be fulfilling God's purpose for our lives? Will that our reaction or our response be fulfilling the assignment for which God has placed us here on this earth? And also, let's ask this question, and will God get the glory how do I respond or how do I react to this situation? And if our reaction or if our response doesn't honor God, then let's not do it. Self-control, as I just mentioned earlier, is linked to all of the fruit of the Spirit. And so let's remember, my brothers and my sisters, that, again, we are on an assignment, and sometimes we have to endure. But in the name of Jesus, I pray that we would exercise self-control and not rise up in our flesh, but ask God, Lord, how would you have me to respond to this situation, even when we're right, even when we have the power and the authority and we're justified in our flesh, we think, to respond. Let's remember what Christ did. He did no wrong, committed no sins, but he endured the death, even the death on the cross, so that we might have a right to the tree of life and fellowship with our Lord and Savior, not only now, but throughout all of eternity. So remember, my brothers and my sisters, even during this time of consecration, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This is Tony Miles. Thanks for listening. Now go and be a living epistle. Join us again next week for another episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Music for Living Epistle Podcast is provided by Audionautix.com.